My name is Jay, and it has been 0 days since I have had the save scum to get past the palace boss in Zelda 2.
Hey everybody, what's up? It's Scott from the RPG After Years podcast, as well as my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/thescottspot.
Hi there, Kylie Kane from the Verzian Chronicles here.
Hi Bill, it's Shroidal Power from the Power Playthroughs podcast.
Hey folks, this is Brett from Skeleton House. Check it out, I got a new mic. Don't I sound better? Not quite as good as Eric, but one day.
This is Eric Slater from Epic Fails of History, Too Young for This Trek, and Comic Zombie.
And this is my submission for the Fifth Palace. Well, not really. This is my submission for the entire game, or the rest of it.
And this is Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link.
And I'm here to tell you a little bit about Palace 5 of The Legend of Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link.
Hey, Bill, I'm probably going to put an intro on this, but I'm going to do this in media res because my memory is bad.
Hello, my friends, and welcome back to the Bill's Zelda 2 project / Super Switch Club. Let's see how that goes. Yeah, if that actually comes about, but yeah, we'll see what happens then. So anyway, yes, hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Bill's JRPG Adventures and Other Trappings podcast. Or, if you're listening from somewhere else, welcome to the Super Switch Club podcast. this is not going to be confusing at all. Anyway, so guys, we're all back here to talk about Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link, Palace 5.
Real quickly here, this game is a good time capsule in how difficult NES games were. And while I did complete the Fifth Palace, I actually completed the game all the way up to the Final Palace. And my current main save is actually sitting in the Final Palace. But the Fifth Palace, just on notes on that, the Fifth Palace wasn't too difficult. I have played through the game now twice, and I'm done with it. I refuse to continue doing this nightmare. It's not a good game. The hit detection is wonky and somewhat all over the place. The enemies are just unfair. Many times I have had a multitude of deaths to just random things flying out the corner of the screen as I am approaching the edge of the screen that you can't dodge that. Not particularly Palace 5 specifically. Palace 5's not too hard, but I want to point out that again, I have played this game twice. I played through it on the Switch, and I have also played through it in a beautiful ROM hack that I totally recommend. Just straight up, if you're going to play this game, go play. There is a version you can find out on the internet that I highly recommend you play. Patch your game and dump your ROM. Play it that way. Don't play it on the Switch. If you aren't going to play it on the Switch, play it using the SP version that you can get in the NES Online store. That grants you all the spells at the beginning, puts you already at level 888 across the board. Doesn't grant you the items, doesn't grant you the stuff you need to get through the game. You still have to do the dungeons, grab the items, and all that stuff. But if you're going to play it, I highly recommend it you do it that way. Otherwise, this game was not good. This game was not fun. Yes, I've done it twice. It was an exercise in futility and frustration, and I will not recommend it to anyone ever. If you want to play Legend of Zelda, go play Legend of Zelda 3, which is A Link to the Past. If you like the top-down style like Legend of Zelda 1, go play Ocarina of Time or any of the 3D titles afterwards, because those are so much better experiences.
So, it's going to be a bit of a short one this week. Obviously, we had a bit of a break between Palace 4 and Palace 5. It took me a little while to catch up on a few other things to get those done first before I come back into the Zelda 2 project, but this is it now. I've got a good plan of a lot of podcasting things I need to get done. The top of the list, Got to smash it out of the park. We need to finish the Zelda 2 project. So here we are, people. I'm forcing everyone once again to play one of the worst Zelda games known to man. Now, I don't think it's that bad. I quite like this game. You know, it has its fun parts. Most of the deepest, darkest depths of the dungeons are not those fun parts. No, just so we're clear. Dungeons, sorry. Overworld, should be alright. Quite a bit of fun. But yes, anyway, let's see what all of our wonderful podcasting friends have to say about their trip and journey to and in Palace 5.
Picking up where we last left off, we have beaten Palace 4 and have picked up the boots, which allow us to walk on water. What's interesting about this section of the game is it breaks the pattern we've established up to this point, where getting the item from a palace would unlock a new section of the world map, allowing us to reach a new town, take on a couple fetch quests, pick up a few magic spells before we journey to the next palace. At this point, we are still blocked to the south by the River Devil, and the only place the magic boots allow us to reach we couldn't get to previously is a small island to the east, which contains Palace 5.
Starting up the game, I have absolutely no idea what the hell we did last time or where the hell I'm going, but I'm standing on a water tile because past me was a genius. So we got them shoes that you can walk on water on, so I'm just going to keep on going to the east.
I actually played through this palace immediately after playing Palace 4. And I went straight to it. I figured out, you know, with the boots made for walking, I figured out where to walk across the water and get to the palace.
After revamping my magic from the old lady, again, I realized I can now walk on water. So that's what the stilettos do.
Okay, so we're talking about the Palace 5 segment today. And yeah, a lot has happened since the Palace 4 episode, huh? I know it's only been released recently on the feed, but most of that was recorded months ago. And in that time, I was able to move over, well, not over, but 700 miles away to Florida. I'm a Florida man now. Lots of life changes that's going on. So it was a little weird hopping back into Zelda 2 after all this time. And honestly, there was a bit of a learning curve, kind of. Like, I couldn't remember. It took me a minute to remember, like, how to jump and fight effectively. Well, effectively is a strong word. But at the beginning, I was, like, letting even the little weak mobs get me a little bit.
Oh, I found a secret tile with nothing on it. What the hell is this, dude? I can't walk in the water now. What is happening? My shoes only work on some water, I guess.
So first of all, we're outside Palace 4, and you're thinking to yourself, I haven't played this for 3 months, what the hell happened? Yes, don't forget, you got your boots, you can now walk on water, so leaving the island maze is a very simple thing to do. And I believe the only thing we had to do was get those boots so that we could reach Palace 5, so I think Palace 5 was inaccessible up until this point. I can't remember how I knew that, but for some reason I did, so yeah, I'm just going to go with it. Screw you, I'm Kevin Bacon.
But anyway, so this is actually a pretty short segment without a whole lot to comment on. There's not really a town segment to this section. You pretty much go straight from Palace 4 to Palace 5, which is a little odd because like every other palace section, you've had to do some kind of little side quest in whatever town you happen across, whether, you know, to get a spell and find the old man or like get an item, I don't know. Just they didn't do that this time, which means either they were running out of time. Like, it's going to be interesting to see what other town segments there are in this game. Just because, like, I don't know. That I think most people would agree that the town segments are usually the less antagonizing of the two. Or, like, rather, the overworld segments. Between the overworld segments and the palaces. And the palaces are the ones that make you just want to, like, chop your balls off.
Okay, there was this monster guy to the south, I remember. I don't know if we got anything to, like, kill him or whatever, but you know, no harm in trying. I cannot interact with them. Okay, not that either.
It took me longer than I'd like to admit, but I finally made it to Palace 5. Navigating the ocean almost felt like navigating a glitch because there were just so many invisible barriers. Turns out, though, that you could just walk straight. Just keep walking straight, and it's a straight shot there.
Surely it has to be to the east, because there's the path that leads off into the water that you can walk into. Oh, you just keep on... You just literally keep on going east. I got sidetracked and I walked to the island, and I can only walk on this water, but not this water. Okay.
So we start the section leaving Palace 4, and you basically just got to get back out of the maze island and go back towards the town in Nibiru. But you don't actually need to stop at Nibiru. You can if you need to heal, which I did a couple times. But so we got the boots in Palace 4, I believe. So you need to... They basically let you walk on water because you're like, you know, the savior, the Hylian savior, Hyrulean champion, the hero. So you walk out from the docks near Nibiru and you can just walk on water. The thing is, it's kind of like an invisible path because there are only certain segments of the water that you can walk on. And I'm assuming that is because of, I'm guessing it's more shallow water, but there's no like different coloration on there.
You know, there are multiple rooms that feature those bouncing skulls that bounce off the walls or the edge of the screen, combined with the wizards laying fire on the floor. So every time you keep trying to get by one of those bouncing skulls, you get knocked backwards onto a set of flames, and you really can't get through those rooms without taking a lot of damage.
Now that we're, you know, Jesus Link, you can just walk, it's a straight shot if you aren't worried about the invisible floors, to the palace, but there are a couple things that you can stop and get. So if you, you know, kind of hold down and up as you walk along the water path, there are some offshoots, a couple offshoots. One of them leads to kind of a lonely island where you can get a pee bag, but you need the jump spell to get the pee bag, I believe. And then you can also go north off the water trail and you can come to a little hidden island that has a heart container.
So I also remembered that there was a heart container somewhere near Palace 5, and then when I got to Palace 5, which basically you kind of just have to backtrack to the first town that's on the new continent that you've reached, and then you have to go, there's a little pathway that leads out to the west, you know, just follow that along, and then it goes to the sea and you can walk on the water. But it's not like you can walk anywhere on the water. Oh no, there are pathways, so basically you're on an invisible path and you can't really see where to go. And I do remember the fact that there was supposed to be a heart container. So I briefly looked at it on the map. So thanks to Mike's RPG Center, as usual. You know, everyone should go to Mike's RPG Center if you're playing some old-ass games. Very good. And yeah, it was just, there it was. It was somewhere situated just north of Palace 5. But once you get on Palace 5, you cannot walk north into the water. So there was obviously a secret path. So I tried going south along the beach to see if there was a way out. Nothing. I tried going north and down, nothing. The pathway was actually just off of the path as you're walking to Palace 5. You just have to be like holding up and hope that you go up at the right moment. And that's it. Up, left, up, above Palace 5. Boom, another heart container for Stinky Linky. Yeah, he's getting his stinky pinky's fingers.
That's really it for the overworld segment of this part. So we're getting right through it. We hop into the palace.
Alright, we're already at the palace. Holy shit, that was fast. The night guy outside the palace does not drop a potion.
I like that this this palace is green. Gotta hand it to the interior decorator. This palace is pretty awesome. I like all the emerald green trappings.
I like the green color palette here.
Really quickly, I think I already had the fire spell. I hadn't really used it, but I did have it, so that was good. And then in the palace itself, I started to struggle. Not so much with the combat in this one, actually. I feel like this palace was a little more forgiving than a lot of them have been in terms of the enemies that I had to fight and the spaces that I had to battle them in. It was still tough. I still had to use that rewind feature on Nintendo Switch Online a fair bit. But I felt like this palace was more enjoyable from a combat perspective than most of them have been.
Okay, gotta open paint.net. I gotta make my map.
Man, this dungeon is still a pain in the ass, but it seems to be going a lot smoother. It might be because I'm just playing this immediately after the last palace, and then it just keeps going. And I spoke too soon.
There's always something at the bottom of all these breakable blocks, right? Wait, I have the down stab. I'm remembering mechanics. There's nothing at the bottom of these breakable blocks. Okay. So far, this palace very linear. I've just been going to the right. I wonder how many lives past me left myself with, because I am running a bit low on health points. a falling block room to get a key. That's pretty clever. I like this. Except for I'm going to die because they keep on falling on my head. Okay, two lives left. I definitely died. Do I keep the key if you pick it up and then die? You do keep the key if you pick it up and then die. What a good game. Okay, this palace is definitely opening up now. I have 5 paths that I have not taken yet.
So getting into the actual palace, this is where I feel the game is really taking a sharp spike in difficulty. The palaces up to this point were fairly easy to keep it straight in your head where you have been and where you needed to backtrack to and take another direction when you hit a dead end. This palace, on the other hand, had many branching paths and many elevators, and I found myself repeatedly walking in circles and ending up at the same dead ends over and over again while getting beaten up by enemies.
The upstab is proving to be useful. There's a bunch of, like, experience bags sitting on some breakable blocks. So instead of, like, wasting your mana to jump up there, you can just stab the block with the jump stab. I don't think I've used it on an enemy yet, though, but... Okay, I died again.
One more life.
I got killed by a dick nut just throwing a dagger at me. Oh, I forgot how much HP these blue dark nuts have. Oh, this is...
One of the first challenging rooms we encounter in this palace is a room with a disintegrating bridge in which as soon as you jump on it, you're bombarded by those flying horse skull things that shoot fireballs at you. Just right away, I lose a life as I get knocked into lava underneath the disintegrating bridge.
So, I've got my heart container. I'm feeling pretty happy now. Feeling pretty pumped. I'm going to go down into Palace 5. And yeah, it's this lovely sort of deep green sort of turquoisey colour. And you go right down the lift, and there's no enemies there. You go right one screen, and there's a massive wall. And I'm thinking to myself, hey, I've played a bit of this game now. I can't jump up there. I use the jump spell. I still can't jump up there.
I feel like I'm most of the way through the palace now. I'm going to try and get out of here without... Oh, those guys suck my fucking mana away, dude. I forgot about that. I'm going to try and get out without dying. Oh, this is looking grim. Oh, no, please, please, please. Okay, I cannot see my HP bar anymore. I have, like, less than a pixel of health. I'm kind of close to the exit, kind of. No, Fireballman! Okay, well, game over number one. How long is the walk back? Oh, God, let's see if I remember the quick path to get back. It's been a while. Okay, well, that was, like, 3,000 experience just thrown in the dumpster.
But my struggle is I got lost. This palace is, you know, as all the palaces, it's all, you know, one background pattern. And a lot of the rooms kind of repeat in terms of layout in the ocean palace here. So I got lost and got flustered by being lost and ended up kind of feeling like I was circling through the palace a few times. I got down to only having one life left, and I was pretty close to leveling up. So I actually left the palace. I went and grinded in the world for a little while, leveled up, let myself die, respawned with full health, went back to the palace, and pulled up a map. I used a map this time around to figure out where I was going. And I swear, I had been to the exact hallway that I needed to go to, and I don't know how I didn't get through there.
Man, having to transform into a fairy right at the start of this dungeon to sap like half your magic meter kinda sucks. Okay, it appears that one of the paths I didn't take last time is just a dead end, I think. I can't find any secrets over here. I think the battle plan for these wizard guys is just, like, jump over them. They're not worth the trouble.
There's this one room where you have to get this key off this high elevated platform, and then there's a series of blocks falling that you have to carve a path out of. We've seen this puzzle before, but what makes it interesting this time is that while you're trying to climb up in this tower of falling blocks, you're getting dive-bombed by the floating eyeballs. This is just another added challenge to the mix there.
Another breakable bridge part with creepy Medusa head floating fire dragon monsters. Okay, and a red dark nut. What the hell are they called? I see a key. I cannot get to the key. It is, this wall is in the way. Do I have to like fairy and fly up or something? Nope, that's just a waste of more magic. Oh, you can use fairy again when you're already a fairy and it just sucks your magic away. Okay, I thought it might have like made me not a fairy. What is the point of that room? It's across the extremely difficult to get across bridge with all the monsters flying at you. I now have to run back. Oh, I fell in the lava. Okay, that is death number 4? Oh, it starts me on the wrong side of the bridge.
So, thinking to myself, I'm sure, you know, I must be able to get up here with jump spell. I'm quite close with it. So I start doing running jumps. But because you're in the palace, you know, you're in a very small corridor before you get to the bit that goes up. So I'm trying to run and time these jumps. I spend a good 10 minutes, I think, trying to work out the perfect jump up this thing. And I'm getting pissed as hell. I'm just like, oh my god, I've got into this palace and I cannot get past the first obstacle. What am I doing? What am I doing? Eventually, I turn to the Discord and I say, guys, I send them a picture. I'm just like, what the hell is going on here? What is happening? I can't jump up it. At which moment, I then also open up my menu screen to look at my magic, and I see the words fairy written on the screen. And it's just like, ah, oh, I've already sent the message on Discord. And then immediately, within like seconds of me realizing it was fairy, I'm getting all sorts of comments from the people on Discord going, fairy moron, come on, use your brain. So I'm like, ah, oh, damn it. Do I look like a tit right now? Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay, you can't pick up keys as a fairy. That is a needless mechanic. So now I got to walk back into this room because I had to fairy up a big pit.
Another thing that stands out about this palace to me is there's one room where you have to, like, there's falling blocks that just fall on your head and they damage you. But there's like a key on a floating platform that's too high, even if you have the jump spell. And you can't fairy up there either. So you have to, like, sort of wait for the blocks to stack as they fall in such a way, almost like Tetris, to where it creates a way for you to get high enough up onto this platform to get the key. I found that part really annoying because there didn't seem to be a rhyme or reason as to how the blocks fell to me. I thought that maybe they would fall in the general area that you were standing, but I couldn't like get a direct correlation on that. So yeah, Link is definitely going to have some brain trauma in his old age later if he doesn't already. Maybe that's why he can't talk. He's used to having blocks fall on his head.
Okay, sorely mistaken earlier when I said this was a linear dungeon. Another elevator here? Holy shit, dude. This is going to be that key. Oh, a skeleton man! Hell yeah, I love these guys. All right, I found the key that was on the other side of that thing. I think I have like 3 keys now, which seems like a lot. I am just about to hit death number 5. Ah, I got daggered by the blue knight again.
And the new enemies in this palace, and the way that enemies and challenges were combined in this palace, also made some of the rooms very difficult. New enemies we see here include wizards that slide flames across the floor as opposed to those magic waves, and the flames linger a bit, leaving an obstacle that Link's got to continue to avoid as he dodges other enemies.
We have little piranha plant dudes shooting fireballs. You love to see it. Or like piranha slugs. I don't know what these guys are.
So Palace 5, which I think it's called the Ocean Palace, funnily enough, it has like a green tint to it. It's a very pretty jade color. It's pretty standard fare for palaces. There's not really anything that jumps out at me as being abnormal about this palace versus the other palaces, other than there's a new enemy, I guess. It's the sorceresses or sorcerers. They look like old ladies in cloaks, like a bog witch. So they appear and they just throw down a little bit of fire in you. Not in you, but at you. And then they kind of vanish and teleport somewhere else. It's very reminiscent of the Magic Koopas from Mario World and later Mario games. Except for they don't shoot out, you know, PlayStation symbols at you.
You know what? I just realized I forgot about the stupid apparitions who appear in this dungeon and appear and then throw a candle at you and then disappear. They were terrible. Never mind when I said the combat in this dungeon was easy, because I forgot about those things, and those things were terrible, and it died many times. I just blocked them from my memory because they were so bad.
But they're really not that threatening. You just can't get... The only time they're threatening is when you have other enemies, you know, kind of coming at you at the same time. And they only take a couple stabs to kill, so not that big a deal.
Oh, the Medusa head dragon guys over a pit of lava. Oh, I got the XP bag.
Yeah, I barely killed it, especially the blue dart nuts, just ran past them. And I would occasionally turn around and use my shield to deflect it.
And finally, this palace throws a couple of challenges at you with the blue dark nuts. While these guys can be difficult enough to beat in a very normal setting just because of the fact they get to shoot sword lasers at you, this palace places two of them in really challenging spots. The first one is right before you get to the room with the magic flute. there's a blue Darknut standing in front of one of the doors you have to unlock. Now, for some reason, the Darknuts can pass through that door and not be stopped by it, but Link, on the other hand, can't, which means the Darknut can get knocked back and out of range of your sword while it continues to throw sword lasers at you.
Another thing that stands out to me is there was one room where there were sorcerers throwing fire at you, and then the wolf heads, the floating wolf heads, appear and are shooting at you at the same time, and that triggered like some PTSD for months ago, just because the wolf heads are the bane of my existence. Like, they almost made me single-handedly quit in Palace 3, I believe it was. But they're only in that one room this time, thank God.
There's wizards casting fireballs in here? I don't think we've seen these guys before. Oh my God, they're so strong.
The other being, right before the final key of the palace, there's a Darknut right in front of it in a short hallway in which you don't have room to jump and strike at its head. So the only strategy you have left is to try to strike high, strike low, strike high, strike low, hoping to miss its shield, all the while it's throwing sword lasers at you and really chipping away at your health.
Dude, these teleporting wizards, holy shit. They phase in and out of existence so very quickly, and they take many hits. Oh, you can downstab the wizards. That makes that a lot more manageable.
Generally, this palace is alright. It's just, you know, there's no weird falling through floors like we had in Palace 4. There's a lot of iron knuckles about. And what have we learned about iron knuckles? That's right, especially the blue ones. Turn into a fairy and just get the fuck out of there. Do not bother. Now, I have to admit, I've got this down now. I'm getting pretty good at the orange ones. I'm pretty good at the red ones, but the blue ones, nah, I'm just not dealing with it. It is worth blowing my magical load on my fairy spell just to get the hell out of there and just not care at all about the blue bastards.
I kept running into dead ends until I realized it, and I'm lost.
Is this another? Whoa, this is not a dead end. I can walk through the wall here. What the fuck? How are you supposed to know that without just jumping into the wall for no reason? Whatever, I found it out. It's not that hard.
Now, this palace throws a bit of a curveball, I think. And again, it's guarded by a blue You know, he's sitting there. He's mucking his way in your path. But he's guarding a wall. And you're like, Now, I know. Again, I think I mentioned very early on, I'd seen a couple of years ago a Games Done Quick speedrun of Zelda 2. And I remember them talking about fake walls. But I didn't remember it right now. I saw this iron knuckle, I saw this wall, and I went back. I went back into the dungeon and was just like... And I was running around collecting things and I was a bit like, this doesn't really seem to be anywhere to go. So I returned. I return to Mike's RPG Center .com. I had a look at the map, and on this map, I see a little wall symbol. And I was like, oh shit, this is the Paul's Walls. No, a penny drops there. So I go back to that blue I fairy my way past it. and I get to this wall, and I walk into it, and I don't go through it. I'm like, what? Is there a trick to go through the walls? And I'm like, oh no, I can't walk through this wall. And then I realise, just by, you know, as you do when you reach these sort of things, you throw the kitchen sink at it. I jumped at the wall and I got through. Basically, there's like probably like 2 pixels or something at the bottom which you can't walk over, so you have to jump into the wall, essentially, to get through it. And yeah, whoever discovered this back in the day when it was on the NES, you know, props to you, my friends. Props to you, because this would have... can stump the hell out of me if it wasn't for Mike's RPG Center.
There's this weird part where you have to walk through the wall.
There's a part where you can walk through a fake wall, so that was kind of cool, I guess, but that would have infuriated me if I was, you know, wasn't playing with a guide.
I just found what I can only describe as a plunger.
And that led me down, again, past some more blue nuts. To the palace item, and there it is. I fairy my way past a few enemies. I've got a key, but I just fairy through the door anyway and pick it up. And yes, what is this? It's a stick. Have I picked up the walking stick of legend? What is this fucking thing? Doesn't tell me anything. Doesn't even tell me what it is. I just pick it up and there it is. I have to Google it. It's a flute. It looks like a walking stick. God. The Triforce walking stick?
Who knows what this fucking thing is? Useless piece of shit. As bad as my fucking dodgy raft that I found in Palace 3.
We found the palace item. It is a flute? A bong? What was it? I don't know what it was. So you have to jump through a fake wall to get to the palace item. That is not the greatest thing I've ever seen.
This palace is absolutely a maze, and I don't like it.
I was abusing my save state still, but not as much as I had previously. I was basically just like every time I finished a paragraph and like the little guide I was following, I would make a save state. It's still very challenging. Even so, at this point, all my my magic and life was at level 8, and my attack was at level 7. And even with magic and life being at level 8, it was still proved difficult to manage life versus magic. Because like you want to use your magic to heal, but also it would be better to have it with shield, and you never know when you're going to need the fairy spell. There is a part at the beginning of the palace where you have to use fairy to get up to a key and proceed. And that was like the only time I used fairy, really. I know Bill told me that you can use fairy to bypass the dark nuts, but for the most part, the dark nuts, or iron knuckles, or whatever they are in this game, didn't really give me a problem. I sort of adopted the strategy of, like, if you don't have to kill it, don't. Because I'm already at level 8 on those two other spells, or stats, or whatever.
Alright, this part where there is a knight standing one tile lower than you right after you get off an elevator, so there's no way you can hit him unless you, like, walk into him to get behind him? I do not approve.
I did die several times. There is one room where you can cross like a bridge of breakable blocks that also has like the flying skeleton fish and a couple dart nuts on it. And I was like, fuck that, because apparently there was only a potion at the end. So I gave up on that, although I spent too much time there.
Yeah, this might be the one where I threw in the towel.
This has like 6 real dead ends and then one dead end that is not actually a dead end and is required for progression. But speaking of, I only have one path left to go on my map. So I feel like I'm probably pretty close to the boss.
Despite all these challenges, I managed to get all the way through the palace, pick up the magic flute, get all the keys, get all the doors unlocked, and reach the final boss without getting game over, although on my final life with low health and low magic. And this is where I hit a wall.
But yeah, this palace was pretty breezy. I enjoyed playing through this palace more than most. There were a couple areas that were some BS, but for the most part, like, no section of this palace made me as mad as that very last room in Palace 3. That is still, like, one of the most unpleasant rooms I've encountered in a video game, is that last room in Palace 3.
So anyway, back through the false wall, fairy over the fucking map, and we make our way round to the palace boss.
Yeah, so pretty much right away I get a game over, as it only takes a couple hits from this giant ball and chain this giant ogre's throwing at me before I'm dead, and all the while I don't even figure out how to damage him. No big deal. Everything is unlocked. I've done everything in the palace I need to do. I can get back there, and I know the path now to the final boss. I can get to him without losing a life. I have 3 chances now to take him down, and it's not going to be that easy.
The boss here, you get to, its name is Guma, apparently, which reminds me of Goombario's grandmother in Paper Mario. But anyway, so he's this large, kind of chunky guy with, he has like a ball and chain. And so he just sort of like periodically, intermittently throws out this ball and chain as a weapon, just directly horizontally.
I can't think of it. He almost looks like from Lord of the Rings. He kind of looks a bit like an orc. And he's got this big, is it called a mace? Yeah, where you got the big, you got a little stick, big chain, big ball on the end with spikes on it. I think it's called a mace. And he swings it round and round and round. And you got to time your jumps for when he hits it at you. You've got to kind of jump over his hit, hit him, and then get out of the way quickly. And it wasn't too bad to get nailed down. I think I died the first time against him, but the second time, I actually used a jump spell the second time as well, just to get a bit of extra height on it. And yeah, he was not so bad. He was a fun boss fight, you know. It wasn't easy by any chance, but yeah, he was good. I managed to sort of
smash him up, hit him in the chest with my sword a few times, whack, whack, whack. Eventually he goes down.
Okay, the last knight I happened to fight dropped a red potion, so I'm coming in very close to max magic, very close to max life. Let's see what this boss is. It's a big fat ogre guy. He has a mace. Oh, he does a lot of damage. I should have put on shield.
I died and got game overs on this boss so many times before I finally worked out a winning strategy. See, the problem is, right off the bat, it's not even really obvious how you have to hurt him. He has his head that's invulnerable, so it takes away the downward strike, or even jumping and striking at his head, which is a strategy we learned with a lot of other bosses up to this point. On top of that, he has this giant like ball on chain that he swings, and when it hits you, you lose a lot of health and you get knocked back across the room. So initially I'm finding the only strategy that might seem to work is to try to run in there real quick before he throws that thing, stab him once in the midsection, which is the only place he can take damage, and then try to run or jump back out the range of his ball before he throws it. And I'll tell you, it takes near perfect timing to pull that off. And I am not very successful with it. I start every new attempt at this by casting shield, the jump spell to give myself a quicker out of there. And still, I can't, you know, it's maybe one out of every four strikes I get away without getting hit. The other three, I take massive damage and I'm chipping away at my magic, casting life before I even have two bars off his health. I don't know how to do this, and it's game over after game over, and I'm getting really, really sick of starting back at that palace with Zelda sleeping.
It only took me maybe three tries to get him.
But yeah, I found my way to the boss's room using a map, and the boss, the first time I went in there, completely destroyed me. I couldn't figure out how to hit him at all, and since I already had Zelda Dungeon up, I decided to take a look, and it turns out that he wasn't, I don't know what was happening. I read their strategy for how to fight him, and it was like, you know, use the jump spell so that you have a higher jump and jump over his thing and then hit him in the gut. And I was like, that doesn't work. That's what I just tried to do. But I tried again after reading their tips, and it worked fine. So I don't know why I couldn't hit him the first time I tried.
What I ended up doing was I would use the jump spell, and then so you just get it up close to him, you stab him, and then you jump up into the left, and then the ball and chain will probably sail right under you.
And this is where I have my moment of weakness, and I say, all right, the next time I get there, I am going to create a save state, and I am going to just keep trying over and over again. I am not walking all the way back from the beginning another time. At this point, I'm trying experiments, trying to mix up new strategies. I actually learned at one point, if you get close to him and jump upwards and then initiate a downward strike, you can pass through his head without taking damage and then clip his shoulders, which apparently can be damaged. But then I almost always get hit by the ball and chain. So I probably spend 45 minutes trying to take this boss down from save scumming the start of the battle, giving up if I think I've taken too much damage without damaging enough. One point I managed to get three bars of health off him before I take damage, and I reposition my save scum to there.
All in all, it was not a bad boss. He was pretty easy. I wouldn't say he was super easy, but I wouldn't say he was like, you know, break your controller in half frustrating. Definitely harder than the last boss, though, with the reflecting the fire and all that.
And this guy, this palace boss, he's really cool. Like, he's this, like, huge thing with this big, swinging, what do you call it? Round and rounds, you know, helicopter, that's it. He's swinging his penis. That was a different video.
A lot of struggle, you know, a lot of tears, and I finally get lucky and just get through this boss once by the skin of my teeth, and that's all I need.
Oh no, please. Okay, first try. He almost got me, but I persevered by just mashing the attack button. And we get a key? Okay, yeah, that's for the orby thing. I thought that was like a fake out boss. I was about to be very, very scared because I have like one hit remaining, but we did it!
Then off I Trotsky, through the palace. I pull my special shiny balls out of my pocket. I have a little rummage around. And I've got one here for Palace 5, one for Palace 6. I lift up my Palace 5 shiny ball and I put it into the altar. And I get myself a nice little level up while I'm at it. Oh, yes. Palace 5 was a nice, nice shot through. I liked it a lot.
Throw the orb in this big Easter Island head. and we get the level up. And with that, I am at 888. I'm all maxed out, I think. Hooray. Okay, sweet. Yeah, that was easy. One game over, you know, almost two game overs. I should probably... I think I'm just going to go game over myself, just so I can start the next palace area with three lives. All right, game over. Return of Ganon. I guess we fail. We game overed on this section twice, if you want to count that bonus game over. What the hell do I go now? What? I don't know what the item I got was. Yeah, that's got to be like a flute. Do I wake up the Snorlax with the flute? Hey, creepy monster guy. I just played a jaunty tune and it vanished. All right, sweet. Now I know where to go next time. Hell yeah, dude.
I placed that stone in the statue, and I am ecstatic to be out of Palace 5 and done with this boss.
I hate to give up, but man, this game just isn't fun anymore. I mean, it was barely playable to begin with, but it's just not worth having high blood pressure over, you know?
Yeah, and then when I left Palace 5, I found, again, because I already had Zelda Dungeon up, I decided to take a peek, and I found myself a heart container and one of those pee bags. So I'm actually pretty beefy now. I think all of my stats are at level 7, and from listening to the Hyrule podcasters, I believe that level 8 is the cap for everything, so I'm getting pretty close to that level cap. And still frustrated by this game, because it has such a, like, potential to be really fun. There are things about Zelda 2 that I find really enjoyable, but then there are places where it's just so infuriatingly difficult that it stops being fun. Even with the rewind feature, there are places where it stops being fun, because, like, even when you can rewind, stuff still sucks.
All right, closing thoughts. I thought that was like a relatively good palace. I don't know if it's just because I wasn't burned out by doing a ton of overworld stuff. You know, a lot of dead ends, kind of annoying enemies, but I think that's just Zelda 2. You get a nice little progression unblocker with it. It's very obvious where to go next. I like that. Yeah, now I'm all fucking maxed out to the 9s too, or to the 8s, I guess. Yeah, this is like the most pleasant I've felt coming off of a Zelda 2 palace. I think it's because it was really short, but who knows? I'm actually excited to play next week and check out whatever the hell the next palace is going to be. Oh man, I hope it doesn't suck. I hope it's not like some super arduous fucking process to get into the palace. And then the palace is just like something that bashes you over the head over and over.
But yeah, I reckon that's it. This was a quick and easy section. I got through it probably in the space of an hour, maybe closer to 30 minutes for all I can remember. But it's still a lot of bullshit, but it's Zelda 2. We're getting used to the bullshit, and it wasn't like game-breakingly, maddeningly frustrating this time. At least not for me. Or maybe we're just getting used to it now. Oh, that's scary.
So yeah, overall, Palace 5 was a good palace. It wasn't too difficult. And the key to Palace 5, if you are playing along with us, don't know why you are, this game's awful. If you are playing along with us, the key to Palace 5 is the fairy spell. You need to fairy at the very first obstacle just to get into the bloody dungeon, and then you need to fairy past all the difficult enemies like the plants. Then you can fairy through the doors and pick up the items like the walking stick of doom that I picked up, and then you can fairy your way to the boss, and then eventually you get to the boss, use a shield spell, have a jump, heal yourself up, and then kick his ass. So yeah, I thought it was a very nice nice pleasant dungeon to go through, actually, compared to 3 and then 4. But 3 was the worst. 3 was by far just hell. Hell on earth was 3. But yeah.
So yeah, we only got a couple sections left. It's kind of crazy how fast this adventure is coming to a close despite the months of delay. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully it doesn't get any more challenging than this. And just here's your reminder that the Iron Knuckles are and always will be bullshit.
Next week, or next week. That'd be good. No, next month probably. We'll go to Palace 6, people. I've got a feeling there's quite a bit of side questing to do before Palace 6. And then after Palace 6 is the Grand Palace. We've only got 2 episodes left. I hope you're all looking forward to that shit. Yes, so Palace 6 is up next, people. Get your audio submissions in as soon as possible, because I'm going to smash this out. I'm back on this. I'm really enjoying it. It's good fun. And yeah, you know, links will be in description below. If you want to join in and submit an audio for Palace 6, feel free to do so. I'm still happily taking new submissions from new people. You know, that's always going to be a thing with this. And even when we become the Super Switch Club, which again, I'll have to put links in the descriptions of all the old episodes of this. If you do join us on the Super Switch Club, you can still join in with future episodes and stuff. But yeah, so everyone, get your submissions in for Palace 6 as soon as physically possible. And then, after that will be the Grand Palace. And then that will be it. The club will officially close its first game on Zelda 2. But for now, we've got a bit more fighting to do. We've got some more stuff to get through. And yeah, and we've got Impa. Impa, I hope she gets her comeuppance at the end of this game. I'm coming for you, Impa. I know you're secretly Ganon. I know you're the end boss. And I'm going to fucking have it.
So yeah, that's that dungeon done. On to the next one.
I want to wish all my podcasting comrades the best of luck as they march onward through the rest of this shitty, shitty game.
On to the next challenge on the Palace 6 and beyond.
Okay, well, thank you, Bill. Thank you, listeners. I bummed myself out at the end there, but, you know, we were on a good ride.
This is Scott, signing out.
With that said, my name's Kylie Kane from the Verzian Chronicles. Enjoy the game. Fuck off, Bill.
Bye.
Are you troubled by strange voices in your ears?
Do you experience feelings of dread in your basement, attic, or car?
Have you or your family actually listened to a spooky podcast?
If the answer is yes, don't wait another minute. Just pick up the phone and listen to the professionals.
Ghostcasters!
Our courteous and efficient submitters are on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural podcast listening needs as we count down to the latest release of the Ghostbuster series, Ghostbusters Afterlife, in theaters November 11th, 2021.
Just go to the We Can Make This Work, probably, podcast network and upload your mobile PKE readings and audio recordings. After all, we're Ghostcasters.
We're ready to believe in you.
Podcasters Assemble is a production of the We Can Make This Work, probably, podcast network.